Hello and welcome to Digital Insights, featuring topics from the BoagWorld.com blog. My name is Paul Boag, and on this podcast I offer advice about user experience and digital transformation. Today I want to talk to you about the iPhone X. Look, I know what you're thinking, the last thing the world needs is another review of the iPhone X. But the experience of buying an iPhone X does expose some intriguing insights into creating great user experiences, and not to mention owning one as well. The curse of being a user experience designer is that you see the good and bad in every interaction you ever have. Now, that can be annoying at times, but it does mean that every interaction is an opportunity to learn, and my recent purchasing of the iPhone X is a good example of this. Buying an iPhone has shown me both where the user experience can go wrong and how you can improve almost any interaction by focusing on one simple thing. This journey of discovery began when I placed my order. Look, I'm a child at heart. I love my gadgets. They're my grown-up toys. So it's hardly surprising then that I was beside myself with the launch of the iPhone X, or 10, or whatever you're supposed to call it. Or that I was wide awake at 8 o'clock in the morning, ready to place my order the moment it became available here in the UK. However, despite placing an order within 5 minutes, I didn't manage to secure a day one delivery date, but instead I had to wait an extra week. I was crestfallen, until someone on Twitter pointed out that Carphone Warehouse was promising to deliver by the 3rd, the day of release. So, without a moment's hesitation, I pre-ordered with them as well. However, I didn't cancel my order with Apple quite yet. After all, it seems suspicious to me that Carphone Warehouse was able to fulfill my order before the manufacturer. Sure enough, when I received my order confirmation, the delivery date that was guaranteed on the website had been changed to expected by the 3rd in the email. So we can learn our first lesson there. Consistent messaging matters. Users want reassurance, and consistent messaging can help provide that. Now, that immediately left me concerned. I wanted to know whether I was going to get my iPhone X on day one or not. So I went to the Carphone Warehouse website. Unfortunately, there was no way for me to check my order on their website. And that leads to our second lesson. Users want to feel in control. Do everything you can to empower them with self-service. I wanted confirmation that my order had gone through and that I would get the phone on the date that was agreed, but there was no way to get more information. There was also no way I was going to phone them on the day that the iPhone had been released. I knew that if I did, I'd be sitting on hold for hours on end. Neither did they offer live chat, that I could see at least, and in the end, I just tried Twitter. Now, I did get a response back, but nothing that really reassured me. For a start, it was apparent that the response I'd got was just a canned response, and it didn't answer my question, but instead told me the current estimated delivery date was a week after release. But did that apply to my order? The order that I'd already placed? I was none the wiser. So enters our third lesson. Make sure that you're answering the questions users are actually asking, and don't make presumptions about what people want to know. At this point, I gave up and decided to wait and just see what happened. The day before my estimated delivery date, I still hadn't heard anything. By now, I'd pretty much given up hope. I'd resigned myself to the fact that I was going to have to wait another week to receive my iPhone. After all, I reasoned, if they had, by this stage, they're bound to have stock, and so they'll know one way or another whether they can fulfill my order. If they were in a position to fulfill it, surely they would have contacted me. In fact, they did have stock, and I received my phone the next day. But the first I knew about it was when the delivery company let me know that they were going to be delivering something the following day. So we now have our fourth lesson. Keep users informed at every step of the way. Even if you can't confirm something, at least tell them that. Don't leave them wondering. Once I had my hands on my iPhone X or 10, the user experience started to improve dramatically. Now, I'm the first to admit that I'm an Apple fanboy. I also acknowledge that nothing in the iPhone X is new. OLED, Face ID, and wireless charging all existed in the market for some time. But as always, it's the experience that Apple created that set this device apart. That in itself is another lesson. Technology never creates a superior experience. It's how we implement that technology that really matters. First, let me take a moment to talk about Face ID. There's been a lot of talk about its flaws, but from a user experience perspective, it's a bit of a masterstroke, really. That's because it's flipping much invisible. You hardly notice it. In the past, security has always been a barrier on the iPhone. First, you had to enter a PIN number, then Apple improved things with the introduction of Touch ID. But once again, it still required an interaction on the part of the user. However, with Face ID, you need no interaction and hardly anything needs to be done. When you pick up the phone, it just unlocks itself. You don't need to do anything. You just start using it. And when you go to a website where you have to type in a username or password, the phone verifies you with Face ID and will enter the details automatically once you've logged in that very first time. And so it goes on. Security has become pretty much invisible on the iPhone X. And that's our next lesson. The best interface really is no interface. So wherever possible, automate user tasks. Another significant change is the removal of the home button. At face value, this seems like a bad move from a user experience perspective. It has, after all, removed a significant interface element which we've all become very familiar with. And I'll admit that it caused me some pause for thought to begin with, and in fact made some interactions more difficult, things like resetting the device when it's frozen. I also suffered from some muscle memory problems where I repeatedly reached for the home button that's no longer there. However, those feelings quickly faded and the price was worth paying for the long-term gains it provided. The removal of the home button has created a more direct interaction with the interface. It feels more intuitive and natural. The powerful processor also helps because the interface feels very fluid. And also the subtle use of animation and haptic feedback goes a long way too. One shrewd decision that Apple made when it came to the removal of the home button is to add in the indicator line you now see at the bottom of the screen. When you reach for that now non-existent home button, you find this instead and that jogs your memory. Also, this subtle indicator helps orientate users and give them some visual indication of what they need to do. The lesson here is maybe a bit more of a tricky one. Don't be afraid of changes that can actually improve and make an interaction more natural and intuitive. Change is okay if it's handled correctly. Ultimately, you can only describe the overall experience of using the iPhone X as frictionless. The iPhone never felt particularly challenging to begin with, but this release has worked hard to smooth off the rough edges that did exist. Face ID in particular goes a long way to doing that, but speed, changes to the interface and the edge-to-edge display all help the interface melt away and the content and functionality come more to the fore. If I could summarize the entire experience of buying and using the iPhone, it would be this. Do all you can to make the user experience as frictionless as possible. Everything else will follow that.